Roni's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roni. This is the Roni Zone, and I have the pleasure of inviting Mr. Big C from the Bear Crawling Podcast into the Roni Zone. Hey, Big C, how you doing?
I'm doing good today, and you might want to hold on to the word pleasure till everything's done. You may want to recant that statement.
Well, I tell you, you know, one of the things I like about you is you are you. There's no metric system to kind of adjust you. It's just you. And, you know, I think being real is an important thing. I would kind of warn my mom before she listens to one of your podcasts, you know, just beware. There may be a word or two that you may have not heard unless you maybe slam your thumb with a hammer. Tell me how you got started with podcasting. What was the... How did you get the introduction to it?
Actually, it throws way back to when I was a teenager and just inherent need to be heard.
Okay.
And I started with e-zine. If you remember those, when you had email first came out, you could put out little email magazines and send them to your friends, and they're called e-zines. And I started one called The Mind's Eye, which essentially blasted the church right off.
Okay.
With Easter Sundays and Easter egg hunts, and I just couldn't balance at that point. I couldn't balance the contradiction between my dad, who was the preacher, preaching about paganism, and that's where Easter came from, was early pagan rituals, and then turning around and having an Easter egg hunt in the afternoon. I was like, so I wrote this article in typical teenage fashion of fight the power, and didn't go over too well.
Well.
So then I got introduced to podcasting through a local radio station, which was doing what a lot of people were doing at the time, which is repurposing regular content.
Okay.
They were taking clips from their show and putting out, you know, 5-second bits to get you interested in listening to their show from the morning talk shows.
Yeah.
And from there, I went to Podcast Alley and just searched comedy and came across a fantastic show called Two Guys, One Brain.
Okay.
And that was 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And since then, I've had 2 failed podcasts. Actually, that's closer to 5 years ago now, I guess. And 2 failed podcasts, and now I like to think successfully run Bear Crawling.
Well, you've been in a long time. I mean,
yeah,
you know, so... Huh, that's interesting, because usually the way I could trace it back is like to a Leo Laporte, maybe through watching the old Tech TV, you know, channel.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. But you came through it through e-zine, and that's interesting. So,
and I mean, I was around when Podcast Alley had about 3,000 podcasts listed.
Wow.
And as of today, I think there's about 67,000 podcasts there. To kind of put it in perspective for podcast geeks, I was around when Coverville was on show 30.
Wow.
And they're on show over 500. They celebrated 500 shows this year, I think.
Well, yeah, you know, you mentioned Podcast Alley, and you know, so ask me why I started Podcaster Love Day. Why did I do that? Just because of that reason right there. You know, just there's a glut of everything. And, you know, what I like about you is you're tenacious. You don't stop, you know. if one idea doesn't work, you just take a break, you know, go out and kick the can or something and come back in and try it again. And, you know, because there's so many shows that start and somebody has a bad day, month, year, and then just kind of gives up. But you stick at it, and that's a cool thing.
Oh, thanks. that's the only way I know to be. You know, I like I said, I had that need to be heard. And in the meantime, when I wasn't podcasting, I was in a band. Writing music and doing that. And then when that failed, I came back to podcasting. My first show we did is called Pull on My Pod, and we did 30 or 40 shows. And it was this zany morning zoo crew, you know, type feel. And as far as I know, we had one listener.
Mm.
And it fell apart. And I did another show called What I Believe, which was a little more successful. And it fell apart because everything else in my life was falling apart at that time.
Mm.
But that was actually, that was something that I would love. It just never took off in podcasting. I don't know why, but it was a round table every week of random podcasters who would come in and just talk about the topic on the table. And we did, does profiling work?
Right.
Or what is profiling? And we had jailers come in, and we had, you know, different experts. We did a series on what is entertainment and had a section on TV. And we had people who reviewed reality TV as podcasters. We had somebody who was on reality TV. And it just, to me, that was, it's like, why is this, I mean, not so much my success, but why is this not being copied everywhere? Because I think roundtables are just great.
That's true. And you have a pretty good sense of a lot of different things. You know, there's some people I know that know one thing real good, you know, and it may be religion, it may be politics, it may be, you know, films or something like that. But you're a pretty well-versed guy. How did you get that? Where did you get that from?
I was adopted by aliens. I could not tell you. I looked at my parents at one point, back when I actually still talked to them. Mm. And I said, and I think I was 25, 26. I looked at them, I was dead serious. I said, I think you're old enough to know I'm adopted, you know, just so you know.
Yeah.
I was homeschooled. And instead of being the typical sheltered homeschooled person, I guess, we kind of went the other way of creative learning. And when I was 10 years old, I was in a community theater doing plays because I could.
Right.
I got to work at a place in South Georgia called the Agorama, which is a recreation of a town from the 1800s, and where they actually still grow their own food, and they have blacksmiths and people. You know, it's a tourist attraction where people come through and see what it was like to actually live off the land. And I actually worked there off and on for a summer because I could.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I will have to say, you know, one of the positive things about my mom was she always encouraged thinking and learning and reading and experiencing things.
Hmm.
And so I don't know. Maybe it was a survival instinct of be everything to everybody, because I was that for a while. I was not the man I am now. I was definitely putting on faces for the crowds that I was with. And I've always said, I guess this is one thing that's been true in my life. I'm big. I mean, hence the name Big C. I'm 6'6".
Wow.
350 pounds. Huh. I have two volumes, loud and in your face loud.
Okay.
And so I always stand out. Mm-hmm. In church, where I grew up, yeah. I've always stood out. Especially add on top of that, preacher's kid. And I realized real early on, there is no hiding. There is no getting away. So I have to be the best at what I do and everything that I do so that I don't have to worry about anything. And I guess that's how I tackled everything.
Yeah.
Was if I wanted to hang out with the geeks, I knew everything that was going on with Dungeons and Dragons. If I wanted to hang out with the rockers, I knew everything that was going on with Metallica, you know. And on top of that, I just have this love for learning. I have this love for everything that's interesting. I mean, I like music. I don't like just metal music. I like all music.
Yeah.
And so when I come across somebody who is into R&B music or country music, which is not really my thing, but if they're into country music and they are passionate about it, they have the ability to show me something I like in there. So there are country artists that I care for. And I guess that's where it comes from, and it just sticks. I just have this mind that is a sticky, it's not a steel trap by any means, it's more like a fly trap, and all the dirt just kind of sticks to it.
Okay.
Every once in a while something good comes out of it.
I found you through Taylor Kent. You and he are similar to me. You guys wrestle with things. You're kind of angry, but but you're angry because you want to get to the truth. And that I appreciate. I don't like angry people that are just mad, just for no reason. Yeah. But, I mean, just in a little snippet of you saying, you know, you had problems with the church and the pagan rituals that they kind of adopted into themselves and all that. You're not the classic kind of a guy who something bad happened. You prayed for a horse when you were five and you didn't get it. And then you just hightailed it away and I'm going to be an atheist. There's something in you that has questions, but you're not ready to ditch it all. You wrestle with why. And that's the same thing with Taylor. Taylor and you both are on this trek for the truth. And that's pretty cool.
You got it. I mean, that was it. Because honestly, I do have a problem with the institution of the church and how it's played out. I have no problem with faith and believing in God or Allah. I mean, if you have your faith, and I particularly subscribe to the Christian faith, but, you know, the problem I have is when you don't know why. And here's an interesting thing is my mother always taught me that, is you need to know why you do what you do. And yet at the same time, she was very religious, which to me is a blind faith. It's not a knowing why you do what you do. And I always find that very interesting. The thing that she taught me to do, she fought hard, actually, for most of her life. Is, you know, quit. Why do you got to do that? And why? Well, because you taught me. I need to know why. And this doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And it's the generic of doing anything. I mean, honestly, I don't care for podcasts who do what everybody else does because that's what they think is popular.
I know.
I just don't do that.
Yeah. And, you know, what's cool about my show is I try to stir up dust. You know, I'm the guy on the Christian ball team that critiques the Christian ball team. And most times people say, well, why don't you leave the team? No, I love the team. That's why I'm on it. I love the manager and everything's cool. But you guys stink. You guys got trouble. And I'm here to tell you about it. And they're like, oh, man, here he goes again. You know, so I think my show has five listeners, and you know, I guess their email is broke because I never get any emails. Now you get Dave Avila doing something that's just, you know, a little off, boy. He gets a firestorm,
don't they?
You know, so but you know, I got to say, I like your heart because you are going for the truth. And I interviewed your wonderful wife, and she's just cool. She really is cool. And the thing that bothers me about religion is the looking right, sounding right, but acting wrong when nobody's looking.
Oh yeah,
that's what bothers me.
I've got a T-shirt on right now from Wicked Jester that says, "Don't pick out or don't what does it say?" It says, don't analyze my beliefs, and I won't pick out the flaws in yours. And I've actually done that. That's why I bought the shirt, because long before I found the shirt, I was doing that. And that's why I don't get along with the quote-unquote church. Because immediately they see me, and they see the way I live and the way I say things. And I don't always curse, as here is evident. I don't feel the need to drop any words. But on my show, because I do get passionate, I do get heated, I use words that a lot of people don't use, and we do put on there the five fluffy bunny rating and a warning. You should know that we speak our minds without recourse.
Right.
Total.
Right.
And that may mean ideas, and that may mean language. So, I mean, you just got to know this is what we do before you play it at work on your speakers or give it to your grandma. No apologies. You just need to know.
And I'm not coming down on you. I was just part of my thing is I'm a comedian, and people get ticked at me all the time because they're like, "Well, why'd you say that?" I'm like, it was kind of a joke, you know. Yeah.
I love making jokes just to make people squirm.
Right.
If I know it's wrong, like one of my bosses yesterday, he's talking about the VP. Okay, one of the vice presidents of our company was supposed to be getting me a chair, a new office chair, and he's like. And the vice president has to be short in stature. He's about 5 foot. So I said, look, you tell him that when he picks out my chair, if he doesn't need a ladder to get into it, it's not the right size. And my boss didn't know what – he laughed, but he didn't really know how to respond. But, I'll go into a church with that kind of humor and the way I live my life. And they'll look at me. And, I mean, I literally have had people who want to pray for me because obviously they believe what I'm doing is not right.
Right.
Like, really? as your kid is the drunk of the high school, or as your husband is over there hitting on that chick, you know, or as you are sitting there judging a person because of their skin color, you want to point at me. That's that's where I immediately take my battleground.
Yeah.
And that's not just church. That's in my office and everywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll break it down. The wit that people like and the mind that I have is always great until I turn it on you. And I've had that many times in a religious situation of, oh, yeah, you know, you really could, you can really get to the heart of this matter and that matter. And then when they bring something on me and I get to the heart of that matter, they don't like it anymore. And well, I feel bad because I do try to warn people. I'm on all the time. Yeah. I honestly sometimes don't know how my wife lives with me because I am on all the time. And I have learned. I have learned by living with her to not necessarily pick apart everything. It's not just because you can see it doesn't necessarily mean you need to say it. I have learned that lesson the hard way.
I don't want to Bible out on you, but there is a scripture that says that you know, iron sharpens iron. The wounds from a friend, you know, and there there's something that we miss, I think, in American society, especially now in 2009, you have to be nice and be kind. And I think there is something to a friend who you trust turning and telling you, you know, that that attitude stinks, man. That stinks. Yeah. That goes against what you talk about, and you're being a phony, and you need to quit. Now, nobody wants to hear that. But I think in reality, 2 minutes later, you'll go, you know what? That's absolutely true, actually. You know, thanks.
And that's an excellent point, because everybody wants to go to the, which is where I thought you were going to go, to the, well, you know, before you pull out the splinter in your friend's eye, pull out the pillar in your own, you know, which I always laugh at. I'm like, really? Because people who quote that are the ones with the pillars, typically.
Yeah.
But no, you're absolutely right. The sharpening, and I get a hard time from my co-host Hugh. He goes, oh, you know, as soon as somebody tells you something bad, you react. I do react because I need you to react more. And if you can't stand me reacting, that's kind of a litmus test for me. If you can't stand me going, blah, 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 getting a little defensive, then you probably don't really have a point. But for the most part, if you have a point, after I defend myself and then I look at it, I'm like, hey, you're right. But case in point, you're talking about the friend who says that. That changed my life. Me and my wife were just having major issues in our first part of our marriage. And we were driving down the road. And we were actually, for the first time in our marriage, having a conversation instead of a fight.
Yeah.
And she said to me, you're just an angry person. And I laughed at her. I thought she's the biggest damn idiot. I mean, I did. I thought I was a happy person because I always can make people laugh. I was always laughing. And so I called my best friend, who I consider my brother. Not right that moment, but later. I called him. I said, hey, you know, she said this the other day, and you're my brother, and you'll tell me true. But I think she's an idiot. But, you know, she says she thinks I'm an angry person. And he laughed. He says, and you think you're not? I went, oh. And that literally, I mean, that was a huge turning point in my life to figure out, okay, one, I need to quit treating her like an idiot because she loves me and she says these things because she loves me. And two, I need to kind of look at myself through other people's eyes and find out what's going on. Because I was an angry person.
Yeah.
And I like you said, I have anger now because of that, we have to be nice. We have to paste over everything and whitewash everything. And really, I'd rather see my flaws. And that's what I started my whole show about in Bear Crawl. And that's why it actually has survived. And it's because I did what was me, which is flawed.
Right.
I put out all my dirt, and I just dug through it on the air. And it connected with people. And, you know, because, and I've always said, I've always looked for somebody to guide me. And very rarely have I found that in life. And I know at some point in my life, I came to a realization. I know I'm not the only person out there who thinks this way, who lives this way, who has problems.
Yeah.
But if I can't find anybody out there, at least I can do is show you where I've been. And maybe you can not go there. And I've gotten some help through that.
Well, it is, I think, you know, I mean, we could talk for hours and hours about the fallacy of reality TV, but But the truth is bear crawling is reality for Big C, you know.
Yeah.
It's just you, man. It's just you flipping on a mic and just rolling, you know, and you know, the subjects change, but it's really you. But I think it takes a big man, Big C, to talk to a friend and listen, you know. Because so much of life, you know, we live in America. I love America. It's a democratic country. And we take democracy just, it's all about my views. Mm-hmm. It's all about me. It's not about anybody else's views. It's about mine. And, you know, I've said this before, but I think the big theme of the Bible is about relationships. The toughest thing you can do is hang around somebody for more than 10 minutes, you know, and it's just at some point you're going to say that breathing sound, if you don't stop that, I swear, oh, you know, and it's just that's the toughest thing, you know, whether it's getting along with God or getting along with people. That's what gets tough. You know, Americans just are fine with themselves, but, tell me about the responses you get from your show. You know, worst and then best. Kind of give me an idea of emails and things like that.
Well, the best is always when somebody gets what you're doing, mm-hmm. or when, as I have gone through, you go through a crisis and immediately people step up and say, "Hey, I relate. I heard the pain in your voice, or I've been there." Or the number one thing, I guess, was the best was when, for the first time ever, when I was about 20 shows in, it was in the early days of Bear Crawling, and I was broadcasting live, but I still didn't have a lot of feedback. I didn't really have anybody to talk to. I was having yet another issue with my wife, and when I say yet another, I mean, that's just been, we've been married going on 9 years, and the first three were very, very rough. And we kind of have a saying, and it's not really that true anymore, but for a while the fights were all the same. It was always, we're back to this point yet again, we're here again, and we didn't want to do that. So that's kind of a habit. When I said yet again, I was having a while. We just had a moment where we weren't connecting, everything was off in life, and I couldn't talk to my best friend because he was having problems with his wife, and he's a newlywed, so he was still stuck in where he was in life and couldn't really help me out. I didn't have anybody to talk to, so I turned on the microphone and I talked about it. And the statement I made was, I just, again, I feel so alone in life that nobody gets me, that I have nobody to talk to. And immediately, a good friend of mine now, Steve C, who does From the Edge podcast, he immediately emailed me and said, "Here is my phone number. You're not alone. I've been through a divorce," which we weren't even talking about divorce, but I've been through a divorce. So I've been through the worst of marriage.
Yeah.
"So you need to talk to somebody. You've got a brother here. I can help you." And I think that was probably one of the best responses is, not now I know I'm not alone.
Yeah.
The worst, you know what? It's weird. Somebody's asked me, he's like, "Well, how many numbers do you have to get before you feel like you made it in podcasting?" I've got to get 100 hate emails a day to make it feel like I've made it. I haven't got one yet.
Yeah.
I guess I resonate with people, which I feel like I shouldn't sometimes. I feel like, I mean, there are sometimes where I kind of half-heartedly apologize about my view because, like I say, I'm sorry, but this is how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not gotten any hate mail, but I have gotten a letter from somebody who was a longtime fan who took offense to a certain joke that I told about ethnicity. And he was like, you know, I'd hit on a moment of pain in his life. And that's what we dug down to. I was able to really rebuild that relationship because I said, "Well, I'm not understanding where you're coming from here," because I tell jokes of ethnicity all the time. I tell jokes about myself. I tell jokes about black people, Jews. I mean, I don't tell them in a hatred kind of way. I don't, you know, make jokes of how many pole locks does it take to change a light bulb. I mean, you've heard the show. It's usually offhanded comments that most people can relate to.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what this one was. And actually, I didn't even make the comment. Somebody else had made it. But it hit on a very painful moment in his life. And once we started talking about it, I said, well, I'm sorry. You know, I do apologize for hitting on this pain, but obviously it's not this joke. Because my first email back to him was, well, you don't write in what made jokes about this or this or this. Why are you picking this battle? Because it's all the same to me. You know, I don't understand. And then once he started explaining it, I said, okay, you know, well, I'll be more mindful of it because you're right. There's people, I don't like hitting on people's pain. I don't think people would find what I say offensive, but obviously there are some areas that can be very painful. And we talked about it, and I made the comment to him at that time, bear crawling is more than a show. It's me. I mean, and there are times in life when we can be friends. We're walking along the same path. Mm-hmm. There are going to be times in life where no harm, no foul, but where life just takes us in different directions. And maybe this is that time for us. And he actually, you know, stuck around and said, thanks for hearing me out. I'm like, you're welcome. I mean, I don't know why I wouldn't hear you out, because that's what I build the whole show is, the human connection. It's the relationships.
I think what I'm picking up and I like about you is that even when you're in a heated exchange, you're still listening.
Oh yeah.
You don't just talk. You know, there was a, it wasn't you, but there was a disagreement between, you know, an atheist person with a Christian person, and they were talking about AIDS and the Catholic Church, kind of going back and forth, back and forth. And both of them were just kind of holding to their view, but they weren't talking. They were just kind of robotically saying,
spouting off rhetoric,
right? Hey. There's just blah blah da, back and forth, like a ping pong table, yeah. And you've been kind of stepping around this, and I think you would agree with this. Is sometimes when people have a disagreement about, let's say, religion, let's say it's an atheist and a Christian, I think both sides can look at the other and say, I see your point. I understand where you're coming from. I don't necessarily agree, but, you know, either I've been there or I see what you're talking about. That, I think, will continue the conversation. But this back and forth ping pong, that'll shut it down. It'll get boring. And as a matter of fact, one of the last arguments I saw like that, the guy goes, I'm tired, I'm going to bed, good night. You know? If on a chance that the Christians are really supposed to affect people, that can't be it. You can't tell me that is it. It sounds like you've been in situations where you've learned something about you that maybe you didn't see, and it was probably because you were listening, I would say.
Well, for the longest time, and honestly, when it was said in my adult life, but had been true from while I was young. But when it was said, it hurt my feelings. Because I didn't think I was this way. And that's the worst part about anybody anywhere, when you just don't realize how far up your butt your head is. But the statement was, I could argue with the stop sign and win. And I just did not think I was that confrontational, that argumentative. And at that moment, it kind of hurt my feelings, because where it came from, and it was in a job I was in, and some people I respected. And I kind of consider myself an expert on religious life. I'll put it that way. Because I literally, and when I say literally, I mean Monday through Friday, many times, I grew up in the church. Every Sunday morning from open to close. Every Sunday night from open to close. A lot of times Sunday afternoons in the programs. Wednesday nights. That's just a standard week. Not to mention missions week, vacation Bible school, everything that goes on. I mean, when my dad started off as an associate pastor, which, consider that, you know, first year lawyer in a law firm. He had to work 80 hours a week just to, you know, hopefully make it one day type deal. And being homeschooled, and being that my mom helped out and did a lot of stuff in church too, we grew up there. So I saw the ins and outs of church politics from a very early age. I saw the two-facedness of people. So to realize I was that way was just a dude, it killed me. It did. It shot me down and shut my life down. And that was one of the elements, now that I'm talking about it, that's one of the elements I realized that helped me get my life on track and realize, you know, it's not about hate. I mean, the ultimate thing you could say about Jesus was, he loved and he listened mm-hmm. to everything from everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a hard time with that, honestly.
We're going to stop our interview right there. As you're probably aware, Big C's got a lot more to say. And really interesting. This guy, there's a lot to this guy. So we're going to pick up part two next time. And I hope you'll join us for that. So till then, we'll see you. Bye-bye. There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that. And we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Snark. Infested Waters.
Snark Infested Waters is a podcast about the horror of it all. Life, faith, art, fandom, etc. Hosted by me, Taylor Kent. The show includes ranting, shouting, and or uncivil discourse on the subjects of faith, politics, art, books, movies, fandom, and more. It also includes cool music, interviews, and uncivilized reviews of the latest movies to debut on the Sci-Fi Channel's most disappointing, I mean dangerous, night of television. So if you like cool music, interviews, and rants of epic proportion, come join the fun at thesnarkyavenger.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Chris.
And I'm Cliff.
And we're Christians. And we've been made into a stereotype of people who just don't enjoy science fiction.
Well, they're just silly.
That's right, Clifford. Because here at The Jesus Geeks, we do mix theology, our love for Jesus, and also our love for everything geeky into a fun podcast.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, it is, Clifford. And this amazing podcast can be found at www.thejesusgeeks.com. So remember, everyone, for the latest on entertainment, culture, and the geek lifestyle from a Christian point of view, tune into The Jesus Geeks.
We're the Christian missionaries to the geek culture.
Or we could be the geek missionaries to the Christian culture.
Ooh.
So remember, everyone, if you're a geek-loving Christian out there, check out The Jesus Geeks podcast at www.thejesusgeeks.com.
Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com and drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.